Thanks so much for joining us for Faith in Four Letter Words, where we take an unapologetically real look at surviving the boys' club, perfect poly, and motherhood, all while living in a glass fishbowl. I'm Amanda Goodman.
And I'm Tara Thomas. Thanks to all of you who care enough about what we have to say that you anticipate when a new Faith in Four Letter Words podcast episode is going to be dropped, because we both can attest to how it always sounds good when you say you're going to do something like this. And then, you know, podcast is still time and work and effort. And so you and I have some other things on our plate, you being hospitalized, going through probably the biggest health challenge of your life. And how are you doing, by the way?
I'm doing really well. I have, I'm sticking to my overhaul, my diet. I don't want to call it a diet, but it's basically my whole lifestyle overhaul. And I've messed up here and there, and I've had like a little lick off, my daughter's birthday cake because it was double fudge chocolate from Hy-Vee, and it's like the bomb. And then my body let me know a couple hours later, nope, you can't do it. So I stick with the fish.
How has it been with the socializing? Because a big part of your life has been having a drink and having that
So I can have some like red wine, or I can have some like Pinot Grigio, but it's not like before. And it's good. Because I think, and I'll be completely transparent, when COVID happened and we were all at home all the time, I was probably drinking more alcohol than I should have been. And I put on a lot of bad weight from that. And I shouldn't have been drinking that much. I mean, one person has a glass of wine and I'm drinking like two full glasses of wine. I mean, filled to the brim, not restaurant pours. So being able – and just knowing that what alcohol is doing to – was doing to my intestines. I remember the GI doctor, when he says to me in the hospital, he was like, what alcohol drink? And I'm like, oh, I'm always low carb, so I do vodka, Crystal Light. He's like, you're drinking poison. He's like, it's burning your intestines. He's like, and that's why. And when I saw the picture of my colon, it was disgusting. I mean, it looked like it was hit with, a machine gun.
Well, and that's the part that's scary, is so often when we're doing things that seem like just normal, everyday rhythms of life, we don't realize the damage we're doing. I, too, have found myself in a bad spot. When we were in COVID, a lot of my sort of routine at that moment in my head was healthier, because my husband was home and he would like fry an egg and I might be better about having, a more balanced breakfast. Or, because I'm home, in your head, like, you don't have the toxic stress of the office. So like those things made this sort of stay at home remote work thing sound so attractive. And you and I both talked about that. And I was like, I feel like I'm in such a better rhythm and I have time to take a walk, whatever. Well, little did I, realize that as soon as I then went back in the office and sort of went back to normal, when I had the chance, as I did, to jump into remote work a year ago, I completely underestimated my inability to stay as disciplined as we were during COVID, because we knew COVID was temporary, right? We knew there was going to be a point when, you're going back in.
Right.
Now, as a remote worker, I'm just going to sit at home. And I literally, Amanda, for the last year, I was sitting, okay? Nothing else changed except Tara was not walking to her car, going up and down steps, going in and out of school buildings. Me, genetically, low, low, low cholesterol. When I went in this summer and I got the blood draw, 50 points up on cholesterol and then 75 points up for my bad cholesterol. The only thing that had changed, sitting.
Yeah.
I've never had it that high. So I'm telling you, it was a wake-up call to me. And then I thought, here's Amanda. She's being forced to completely overhaul her whole lifestyle and diet overnight. I'm like, Tara, you better get in gear, because the last thing I want is to have a job that I thought and a lifestyle that was supposed to make me healthier end up leading me to, sitting is the new smoking. That's what it is.
It really is. Yes. But to be fair, I mean, it was easier for me. It's easier to make those quick lifestyle changes when you've been lying in a ball, right? Like, so don't put pressure on yourself. So for me, it was,
why I was thinking, if she can do it, you're forced to do it. Like, I can make some changes.
You can do it.
So
you can definitely do it. It's kind of like cheese, right? Like, so cheese. Like, that's my biggest thing. It's not giving up the alcohol. It's the cheese that I'm like, what am I going to do? Like, the dairy? Because I'm so, against dairy. I don't want to say that publicly because, I want to support farming, and things like that. But We're the only mammal who drinks another mammal's milk. And it's our bodies can't handle it. That's why we're not supposed to give our kids cow's milk before the age of like two or three. That has been the game changer. And I thought, I was like, oh my God, there's no way, because, you know, low carb life, right? When you're hungry, what do you grab? You grab a cheese stick, right?
String
cheese.
Oh my gosh, that's what I ate yesterday.
All the time. Yes, so, you grab it. Like charcuterie boards. No, it's so true.
And here I am, like, my son drinks, honestly, he can down a gallon of chocolate milk a day.
That's Aria too.
The whole,
yes,
the full fat chocolate milk. I mean, so yeah, so when you think about what we're doing and what we're putting in our bodies, I absolutely agree that there's not a lot of consciousness around these habits that have been formed for years. And for me, what I realized is, as we both know, and we hate to admit it, like, as you're getting older, you just cannot get away with what you would could do in your 20s and 30s. You know, number one, the sleep thing. If I don't get enough sleep, I literally get sick every single time. And so if I have that weekend where I totally stay out up or stay out too late, don't take a nap or do something to kind of set the course for the week, by Wednesday, Thursday, I mean, I can go down and be taken out for like a whole day. And it's sad that we can't do what we used to do, but we think we still can.
In our head, because we all think that we're still 22.
Yeah, we think we can.
I think back to my, you know, Amarillo days, going to Midnight Rodeo, closing it down at 2 a.m. and then hitting the, you know, getting the All-American Slam at Denny's at 3:30.
Oh my gosh.
While I'm chain smoking Newport Lights.
Oh my gosh. See, and I never smoked, but that was such a TV news thing. 100%. A lot of people in TV.
We all smoke, because that's where you hung out outside, right? Yes. The newsroom. Oh, yeah. That's where you got your break.
Well, I used to always say that when everybody got on their smoke break, I'm like, I should be able to leave an hour early, because I didn't get all your smoke breaks when you guys were hanging.
Well, that's where I love the smoke breaks, because that's when you hang out with all the guys from production, and those were always the fun guys.
Yes.
But
yes.
I laugh. Like, we would leave the Denny's parking lot maybe at like 4:15 in the morning, still smoking those Newport Lights, and then I was up and back in the newsroom at 8 a.m. Or it was when I was on the morning show, I had to be there at midnight. I would leave from the bar I wasn't drunk when I. Maybe there was a couple of times that I showed up when I probably shouldn't have worked, but I go right from the bar to work my shift, my midnight shift.
That is hilarious.
Going on 2 hours of sleep. Now if you ask me to do something and it's after seven, it's like, you are crazy. But I've learned to stop apologizing for it, because before it was like, I feel bad if I don't go. It's like, no.
It's so hard.
I mean, look at my sweatshirt right now. My sweatshirt says homebody.
Yes, I wish you guys could see it, because it's so cute. I love that. It's like she has a black sweatshirt and it says in white and cursive homebody across the front.
That's me.
So here's what I know. I know that all of us probably don't realize the mental health challenges that we still are kind of sorting out after COVID, because whether you were sick or not, there was something or some person or some element of your life that was altered permanently by COVID. For me, going into COVID is when it really accelerated my dad's dementia and then ultimately led to his diagnosis and death. And then for a lot of people, I had some weird symptom that 2 years later is still hanging on. My friend, who's a very well-known local radio personality, he has still had no taste and smell since October of 2020. And he told me he can literally squirt mustard in his mouth and not flinch.
That's crazy.
He still can't taste.
Isn't that something?
Other people said that it's triggered. I hit the mic. Hopefully that didn't make a noise. They've had migraines triggered by COVID. And or they had migraines, and now because they had COVID, they're intensified. And I've also heard people say for like years they wore masks, or months at least, up to like 2 years. And then as soon as they took their mask off, like, they happened to be around somebody who, because there was that sort of resurgence in the past few months, they got COVID again, or they gave COVID to somebody because they didn't even know that they had it, because they thought in their head, like, oh, I had it 2 years ago.
Well, you know,
it's so weird, and
of us wearing our masks for so long, what happened, right? Like, our immune systems, we weren't ready to handle anything.
Oh, that's true. That's a really good point.
So we weren't around. It's kind of like, my mother-in-law is a pediatrician in South America, and she's my go-to. This woman's a genius. And so when Hector and I first got married, I would always we first had Gia, and I was always trying to keep the house clean. She's like, no, you need a little dust. She's like, that baby needs some dust. That baby needs dirt.
I was like, no more.
Like, my mother-in-law says I don't have to clean.
I love that.
Fine. But it's true. But think about it. That's why everybody, what happened? Like, oh my God, every single one of my kids got sick when they didn't have to wear their masks anymore because their immune systems were like weakened by being covered. They weren't ready to fight everything.
That is such a great point that I never considered.
I think that's why my autoimmune disease, immune system and all that whole stuff just went into shutdown mode.
Or in your case, accelerated by shutting down.
Yeah.
Well, okay, so what Charlotte was hospitalized with is called MIS-C, MIS-C. Multi-interdisciplinary syndrome in children, and it's triggered by COVID. It was discovered in 2020.
That's crazy.
By Italian doctors, and Iowa City Children's Hospital is Iowa City's the only hospital in the state of Iowa that's treating it. And it was, like I said, being triggered by COVID. We didn't know she had COVID, so they think she probably had COVID fairly recently. Yet she was asymptomatic. We never got her tested. And then you think of, oh my gosh, like who else did we expose it to? Or did I give COVID to somebody? And even though I was, you know, through my first round of it in 2020 and now vaccinated, like, did I still expose other people? So, I mean, all these questions that come up in your head are so overwhelming and we don't have control over it and you can't answer it. And so for me, I would just really remind everybody, and I think, you know, we know this, but don't take for granted that, A, there's going to be, like, a doctor waiting for you. When we first went to the ER, one lady had been waiting for 5 hours.
Oh, it's insane.
So we had to go to a second ER, and then we finally were able to be seen. But in this case, not at that time recognizing that she could have had what she did, whether they would have known how to diagnose it, I'm not sure, because at Iowa City, she was the 77th child in the state to have it. So I don't know to what extent other providers across the state are knowledgeable. So when she gets checked in that night, we had to sit in the ER the whole day when they checked her in that night. If you missed the last podcast episode, my daughter Charlotte was hospitalized at Iowa City for 5 days recently. Go back and listen to it and I explain it. So we finally got a bed in the children's hospital at 6 o'clock that night. And so what I'm going to say to people, and as much as I know it sounds easier than to try to navigate the world of healthcare, you know, the patchwork of healthcare that we all have to puzzle piece together for ourselves and our family. I mean, you have to be you and your child's advocate. I am so grateful that I knew the mother's instinct. This kid is failing fast. She barely has the energy to get out of bed. The Sunday before, she was playing in a flag football game and she was knocking down balls out of the end zone. And now she can barely get up. As a mom,
you know,
you can't sit there. And then you know what I said to my husband and my mom, my daughter's Nana, my mom, who was there? I said, I am not going to sit here and be that person who you hear these stories about, as we did all the time on the news, where I waited a week and by the time we got her in, we lost her.
It was too late.
It was too late.
Yeah.
You know, meningitis, toxic shock syndrome, like all these things are being messaged to me and flashing through my head. And in the end, that very Friday night, a doctor at Iowa City Children's Hospital walked in and diagnosed her right there on the spot and said, I think that it's Miss C.
It's crazy. And thank God for the timing of that doctor.
Oh my gosh. Yeah.
And that's what it is. It's all about like God's timing. And if you don't believe in God, you know, I respect that. I believe it's all timing, you know.
Exactly. Same. 100%.
A couple weeks ago when we had Spark to Fire, that women's event. So we had about 500 women here locally in Iowa at this event. And a woman came up to me and she said, how are you feeling, Amanda? I said, I'm feeling so much better. And I looked at her and I recognized her eyes. Well, here it was my ER doctor. And I recognized her eyes because she wasn't wearing a mask. And I almost cried when I saw her. I'm like, you just saved me. And she kind of like chuckled. I go, no, you did, because you were the first person who listened to me. You were the first person who like took your time. And then I looked at her. I was like, man, you've seen all of me, because she was giving me like, you know, exams from the back and all kinds of stuff. So when you have, you know, I mean, she was the first person though. And she, like, when I went into the hospital that day, it was my own instinct, a woman's instinct, right? There's nothing better than a woman or a mother's instinct. It was mine. I'm like, this isn't right. Something's not good, you know? And I left, I went to the ER at like 6 a.m. thinking, let me get in there before there's a line. But it was that doctor, it was that timing. I went there on the right day. They actually admitted me and they were like, okay, this is going to work out because the GI specialist is actually in town. He's going to take your case, you know, and boom. And so it's all about, you know, and you and I behind the scenes, we're you know, eventually in a couple weeks, we're going to talk about let people know. Like, it's all about timing for stuff, right? God's timing, and you just have to trust it. That
100%. And I'm so glad you said that, because that is an absolute game changer. When you suspend your lack of control and stop stressing and worrying over what in the end you cannot change. You can't change it. Like, I had to sit there and just look at my daughter hospitalized in that bed, and everything about it is at the point of complete and utter helplessness, just as you were when you were constantly going through cycles of being sick, and you just no longer have the will or the energy to fight, because you know, oh my gosh, I cannot change these circumstances, but I can truly suspend, you know, this sense of I can change it and I can control everything. Let God sort of work in your life, in your case, in my case, work through the doctors, and let this thing unfold to where when we come out on the other side of it, it's like, okay, thank you, God, because as much as I hate when people say this, because when you're in the moment, you know, you just don't want to hear this, but there is a silver lining. There is a purpose in the pain. And that is what my pastor has said before. There is purpose in the pain. And I hate to say that to someone out there who's listening, who has, you know, a terminal illness in their midst. It's either you or a family member. You know, my friend Kevin Dill, who has Lewy body, he's having a lot of local events to raise awareness about it. My heart breaks for him and his wife, because I've lived it. When you get that diagnosis, it's not if you're going to have a shortened lifespan. Yeah, he knows this is nearing the end. Every day he's checking off, he's 1 foot closer to the end. Whereas for us, we take for granted we might have years until the end. And yet the man wants to be sharing his story, advocating for others, leaving a legacy while he's still on earth. And then I'm going to be selfish because, oh, my daughter is hospitalized for 5 days, but now she's going to live and she's seemingly okay. Like, come on.
No, but that's not selfish, right? Like, that's not, I see what you're saying. And I don't want you to ever think for a second that you're selfish, because that was a very scary, that was unknown, right? Especially when you have everyone sending you diagnosis and you're thinking the worst. You're thinking the worst of the worst, right? But you came out of it, look, and appreciative and taking the small things, not taking it for granted. It's kind of like when my uncle was diagnosed with pancreatic cancer, I hated the world. I'm thinking, you're taking Superman from, Superman's going to die. Because you know it's the same. When you get that, that's a death card. That's a death sentence when you get pancreatic cancer. I just want people to know this. You know, my mother-in-law, who is a devout, devout Catholic, she always told me, she went through a divorce with my father-in-law later in life. It was devastating for her. And so she was very emotional. A year later, she comes back as this badass, like just super strong. And I'm like, what did you do differently? And she just looks at me and she said, I stopped worrying and I gave it all to God. She's like, I gave every worry to God. I get chills thinking about it. And think about it. If we give all worries to God, right? If prayer is our conversation to God, our gut is Him talking back to us. Like that voice inside our head, that's God talking to you. So if you're on the cusp of doing something great or making a big decision, or, you know, you're making a move in your life professionally, personally, whatever have you, and you have that little voice in your head, that's God. He's talking to you. So prayer is us talking to Him. And so just remember that. And I hope that inspires somebody, because I'm really trying to live that life. My life is not perfect.
Same.
Right? And I think the way that I'm blessed in so many other things, I'm blessed with family. I'm blessed with that love, an abundance of it. I am so very rich in that. It's because I know I'm not perfect. God knows I'm not perfect. But He knows that at the end of the day, I'm on my knees saying, I'm sorry, I wasn't that good today. I'll try again tomorrow, right? Like, I admit, like, I have shortcomings. But do what you want with me, where you need me. You need me for my mouthpiece. Like, that's why you put me here. Let's go.
And I just feel moved for those of you who are people of faith, or you have that spiritual connection. In our case, it's to, you know, Jesus Christ, our Lord and Savior, and God for many people is who you turn to when things go sideways, right? We're just living our life and thinking we're in control. And then, oh, the bottom drops out and you realize, wow, I'm not in control. Perhaps I need to like reconnect with the spirituality that lies in our hearts. And so for me, I would just say that, you know, I ask God to just be that ear, be the voice, I should say, in your life, who, as Amanda said, can speak to you and act on the whispers, right? Don't let the whispers turn into an alarm because it's too late.
Right.
Do what you need to do to get your life right. If you're thinking about, you know, reconnecting with that ex-boyfriend on Facebook because you want to have an emotional affair, like, put the brakes on before you wreck your marriage. If you're thinking about, you know, continuing to stay in that toxic relationship where you're being mistreated or it's unhealthy, like, take a step today to, like, get out of it. And for us, at the end of the day, like, we have to put our health on the priority list, which means we have to be disciplined and we can't be out, you know, boot scooting until midnight. But we definitely, as evolved women, have lived and learned enough to know that if you suspend all of this quote unquote control and this type A personality and you turn it over to that higher power, like, the peace that can befall you truly passes understanding, as the Bible promises. And I'm telling you, like, I feel like you and I have had so much happen to us and we have a lot going on, but we're energized by the peace of letting a lot of that go.
Oh, yeah. Yeah, it's kind of like my favorite thing when people talk about banning or blocking people on Facebook. Like, you did it out of anger. I did it for peace. I want peace in my life, right? So I'm going to let, you know, there are people who have really angered me lately. I've actually gotten more satisfaction letting it go because they're waiting for that response from me, because that's what I've always done. Like, here comes the pit bull and I'm like, I'm just going to sit over here like a Tory.
And it's hard to get to that place, but it's very freeing when you do.
It is.
And I too have been wronged immensely by people in the past year.
Yeah.
Beyond what I could have even, you know, ever imagined. And you know what? I have just been so comfortable after the fact in not trying to clap back or be combative, because at the end of the day, I have learned some lessons, good or bad, on the other side of it. And, like, truly, we are going to just be stronger, better people if we can somehow find a way to channel a lot of that negativity for good and for the benefit of our futures,
right? You know, and when people come for me, and, you know, and even people in my personal life, it's their friends or their acquaintances, and they want to get, like, a rise out of me, it's like, I was called fat and unappealing by a boss across a crowded newsroom, and I told him to eat a dick. So if you think if you think I'm going to sweat what your opinion is of me, I will eat a bowl of water with a fork before I sweat it. Like, just know that. Like, it's just...
That's such a funny quote. I love that. It's hilarious.
I mean, it's the truth. It's let it go, right? If it's not...
And
I've learned from people around me sometimes, you know, I'm the vice president on some boards, and this executive director of this nonprofit, He's younger, and he is on the receiving end of a lot of criticism a lot of times, right? A lot of times. He's the head of a soccer club,
of
right?
Course.
So, you know, parents who think their kid is, you know, the next
Pele.
Yeah, or Leo Messi. Like, no, he's not.
That dated me by saying Pele.
I love Pele. I'm a big fan in our house. But, you know, he says, he told me, I said, you need to respond now. You need to let him know now. Like, he's like, nope. He's like, I'm going to wait 24 hours to see if I'm still angry about it tomorrow. And I was like, ooh, touche. Okay.
I love,
like,
that. It's, yeah, no.
Because it's
so
taught me.
Okay, but and here's what we will end on. And you and I both talk about this all the time. Whenever I am upset about a slight or something that someone did, in many cases, as we know, because we're working women, it involves employers, right? Let's face it. Work brings a lot of stress into our lives. For everybody listening.
God.
You know, and this is mean, but I'm going to be honest, and we talk about this a lot. When I hear somebody who has the privilege of being a stay-at-home mom say, like, how stressful their life is, granted, that comes with a host of range from, you know, the range of your kids matters. But let's talk about some of our friends where they're stay-at-home and their kids are old enough to wipe their own rear ends and get their own snacks. When that individual says they're under a lot of stress, I sometimes want to say, well, imagine if that stress is coming from somebody who you're dependent on to put Captain Crunch in the pantry.
Uh-huh.
I mean, you know what I'm saying?
Right.
Like,
yeah.
That's another day. That's
right.
Another podcast.
Right.
But when you're a working woman and you're helping support the bill, you know, keep the lights on, it's a different kind of stress. And what you and I have learned, and this is such a gift when you can get to this place where you can hold on to this, that person, that boss, that point in your life in a short amount of time, it seems like forever because every day drags on. You will blink, 3 to 5 years will pass. I don't even remember the name of the person because so much in my life has changed.
Yeah.
I told you during COVID, I had printed off emails that sent me into a stress spiral where I probably made myself sick because I was so upset. I didn't even remember the person had written it or sent it to me.
Yeah.
Amanda, I read it and I'm like, oh my gosh, they actually said that to me.
Yeah.
I had long since buried it.
Oh my God, I know.
Bury the person, bury the name, but don't literally go to jail for
there's a spouse of somebody who I used to work with, but not even in the same department in news, but there's a spouse who does not like me for whatever reason. Now when I was working at this television station, this purse was so far up my ass, they knew, they probably could have told me I had ulcerative colitis before my GI doctor. they were up there. Sorry for that.
Oh my gosh.
Very
that
sorry
is
for this visual. Sorry for this visual. But you know exactly who I'm talking about. And then after I left, and then once I became vocal about what it was really like behind the green curtain of Oz, this person went on this like campaign, this vigilante campaign about me. And like anybody who would listen, this person tells them like, well, that didn't happen. No, boo, you don't know. You weren't there, right? But then it's funny because I'm thinking about the people who worked there at the time, and I don't remember people's names. I news director.
Oh my gosh, I don't even remember faces. That's how horrible it is. I mean, I have literally run into people, and my husband was like, "You worked with that person." I'm like, "I don't." And you know what's sad? It's never a case of I'm too important and you're too.
We're trying
to be dismissive. The fact is, we're just overwhelmed with the number of connections and people we've made, for better or worse. Like, you're out there, and then everyone seems to know you for that period and that window. And now life has changed for us, but we still are grateful that people care and have the, hey, I remember, you know, when you were on the news, or I miss Amanda on the news. I mean, you hear that all the time. And so what I will say to those individuals out there is, as Amanda is describing, when you are right now so fired up, you are ready to just burn, you know, the car down and walk away like Angela Bassett.
Light the patriarchy.
Yes, yes. Yeah. You're just so, as that, say, you know, wise and young man that you described, the executive director has suggested, you need to give yourself that breathing room, because truly, in my case, like, the bottom dropped out for me, you know, 24 hours later after I was like fired up. I mean, and then I had to shift all my energy and attention towards what really matters: your family, your health, your safety, and ultimately being a person who lets God control your life, and you don't have to react to every little slight along the way. We don't.
No.
We don't. We
Practice
don't
the
have.
Pause.
Practice the pause. That's so good. Great note to end on. Practice the pause. Have a great week. Thank you so much to everybody who's been, you know, a silent supporter. We just really needed to share our truth because it's a cathartic process as both of us try to grow and evolve as imperfect women.
Imperfect. Have a good one.